Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.
Well, a topic that's always near and dear to my heart is fulfillment, personal fulfillment, and helping others get there. So what a joy to get the opportunity to include Loretta Love Huff here on this morning, calling in from Phoenix. Good morning, Loretta. How are you today?
Great, Zara. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I couldn't be better. Boy, the last segment just took my breath away, so now I'm going to kind of recover in a space with you. Let me introduce Loretta. She's the dream leader for business. She helps people and teams truly exceed their dreams. Loretta specializes in helping career professionals find fulfillment in the workplace, a practice that she launched 12 years ago following a business career in Fortune 100 companies such as Kraft Foods and Apple Computer. Loretta holds a BS in psychology from Howard University and an MBA in finance from the University of Chicago. She's a published author, two business books, in fact. The first is Leadership Without Limits, Inspiring the Best in Yourself, Your People, and Your Organization. And the second is Six Keys for Dissolving Disputes, When Off With Their Heads Won't Work. Loretta is a regular guest on the local Fox 10 Morning News, and she's been featured in the New York Times, Arizona Republic, the Phoenix Business Journal, Arizona Woman, Black Enterprise, and also Working Mother. So what drives Loretta? Finding how the right people and the right jobs doing the right things in life, right. So I love that particular mantra of yours, multiple rights. Well, tell me, you wanted to start out with an interesting revelation or sharing with our audience about the story of your own career and evolution to this point in time.
Well, I think it's what I wanted to share with you is just how I got really interested in human behavior. Okay. And I grew up an only child. Now, I was adopted when I was a baby, and there's a whole other segment that we could do on I found my family, but we won't go there. But, you know, discovering that I was adopted when I was a small child left me with some kind of doubt about, you know, my own value and where I belonged in the world. And so I was very curious about how people, you know, came up with the beliefs that they had. Mm-hmm. I would, you know, when I would take the bus to school, I would look around and see different looks on people's faces and wonder, how did they turn out that way? And how did people, you know, in the same family with the same parents turn out very differently?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I knew when I was in high school that I wanted to be a psychologist because I was very curious about what made people tick. I even used to do astrological charts for my friends.
Done love it, yep.
To scan them a little bit better, you know, because having grown up an only child, I had friends, but I didn't really have, you know, a lot of folks that I was living with where I could do a lot of experiments, you know, to kind of understand them. So they were kind of a mystery to me.
So
I started the psychology route when I was in undergraduate school, as you said. And then when I was in corporate America, I did a lot of my spent a lot of my career in human resources, where I got to, again, understand people's motives and behaviors and, you know, faulty beliefs that they had about their bosses and their employees and the company. And it was just really kind of fascinating to me. And so now as a coach, I'm able to blend all of that to help people understand, you know, where they're coming from, where their beliefs are, how they're limiting them, and then move beyond the paradigm that they're kind of stuck in at any moment in time.
And in fact, you'd say that's step number one, is for us really to identify the beliefs that we have, particularly those that might make us fearful, hesitant, or reluctant to take action.
That's exactly it. So one of the models that I use when I'm working with people is to, I call it the bar theory, which has nothing to do with Chardonnay or mosquitoes.
Darn.
Or even bluegrass,
right.
You know, if you're really healthy. It's an acronym, and it stands for Beliefs, Actions, and Results. And the theory goes that our beliefs shape our actions, and those actions, you know, highly influence the results that we get. So, you know, a simple example that you might consider is that driving on a major thoroughfare, and you're approaching an intersection where there's a traffic light, and the light is green, and your belief set is, you know, things generally go well for me, I'm having a great day, woo-hoo, all is well. So if you've got this kind of upbeat attitude approaching the light, what are you likely to say to yourself about you and that green light?
Then I'm good to go and everything will be safe.
Exactly right. And so the next actions that you take, you probably look at the light more closely. You see if there's a pedestrian sign. Is it white or orange? If it's orange, is it flashing? If it's flashing, how many seconds do I have?
Right.
Are there any appliances or cars around the intersection that I need to make note of? And if your brain continues to get all the right signals, the next action is probably foot on the gas pedal ever so slightly.
To make sure I get it on the green, yeah.
Exactly. So now imagine that there's a person in the lane next to you, and they have a very different belief set. So their belief set is, I never get any lucky breaks. Life is just really messed up. I'm having a horrible day. I never should have gotten out of bed today. They're going to look at that same green light, and what do you think they're going to say to themselves?
Yeah, this is high risk. You know, do I or don't I? And they'll start waffling.
They're probably even thinking, you know, it's going to
turn red, yeah.
Right, because it always does, right? So they don't even bother to see how much time they have left. They just take their foot off the gas, apply the brake, and it's likely that you and me, with our upbeat, oh, my gosh, you know, let's go for it attitude, it's likely that we get through the intersection and we say, yeah, I knew it. And it's just as likely that that other person gets stopped by the red light because they, you know, took their foot off the gas and applied the brakes. And they say, huh, I knew it. And then we each go on about our day.
And in fact, this fun metaphor and an example, of course, just slightly alter the descriptions. And it's the same about, I'm going to go in and confront one of my colleagues with a difficult discussion of how we can improve our project or how we want to shift our relationship or how I'm going to approach. What are they going to say? Or how I'm going to talk to my teenager about that important decision they're about to make about their class schedule for next year, whatever. You know, some people would say, well, Zara and Loretta are talking about the glass half full or half empty. Yeah, but it's much broader than that, too.
It is, and it's much deeper than that because we don't really recognize what our beliefs are, you know, until they're tested or until they're revealed, you know, by somebody else who can look at them a little more objectively.
And in fact,
that's what I help people do.
You bet. In fact, that's your second point. You have to identify the beliefs, but then you have to go back in some situations, or probably more often than not, and challenge what you think.
Exactly. So I heard once a number of years ago that beliefs are like cow paths.
Mm-hmm.
And the more we go down them, the more they seem like the only way to go.
So
they become so entrenched, and we find evidence to make them real and concrete. And yet, I heard this other quote is, you know, don't believe everything that you think. Just because you think it does not mean, you know, that it's the truth.
It's the truth. And so your advice, I would imagine, to clients then is to really practice thinking new thoughts.
Exactly, to come up with new ways of looking at things. So let me give you an example. I was working with a client who is a partner at one of the big accounting firms. And when I first met with him, he was feeling overwhelmed, doing a lot of work, disappointed with his team, and frustrated with how things were going because he felt like the weight of the entire department was on his shoulders. And so I asked him in this initial conversation, I said, is it okay if I talk with a couple of your senior leaders, the people kind of right under you, to get another point of reference about your leadership style? Graciously said, sure. And I spoke with one of those gentlemen, and he said, you know, this guy would be so much less overwhelmed and overworked if he just recognized how talented his staff was. So in this partner's mind, he had all the responsibility for everything, and he wanted brilliant, and he would come up with fabulous ideas, and he, you know, when they were in staff meetings, didn't have the patience to let the team come up with the ideas, so he was always driving his points and going his direction, not tapping into the genius that the rest of his staff had. So once he took a step back, and we worked on his delegating for a number of months, but he was able to kind of step back from having to have all the right answers and having to be the driving force in everything to letting his employees step up and let their own gifts come out.
But part of, as I would imagine, though, as part of your role as the coach, though, is also to provide him with some fortitude and some courage to recognize that, you know, his mind is really designed to protect that the way it was, right? The way that it's, at least he thought, was always working to his favor. But
it wasn't until he tried
until he tried something new that he realized, oh, my, This shoe,
oh, yeah.
This shoe fits a lot better than the last one that's been pinching my toes.
Exactly, exactly. And we had to, you know, we spent a couple of sessions just talking about the beliefs that he had that kept him from being able to delegate, and then coming up with activities and actions that he could take that would dispel the beliefs, that would open up some other possibilities. Because one of the things that I believe is that we all have more options than we generally see and more control than we tend to take. So I, you know, helped him come up with some other things that he could do, some other perspectives that he could look at, some ways to deal with his reluctance to delegate. So one of the people he wanted to delegate to, he wasn't sure was quite ready. So, you know, we had conversations about, well, what would it take for that person to be ready? And how would you, you know, what would it take for you to feel comfortable that he was ready? And so he came up with a couple of, you know, measures, like what he would need to pass on to this person so he could take on a particular project, and setting up monitoring conversations so that periodically he would find out, you know, what was happening on this project that he had delegated so that he could stop worrying about it. And then once he was able to do that and get comfortable with that, he had kind of a new path he could go down. So that the one cow path he had been on, he stopped treading, and he tried this new action, and so he was able to then transfer that to other people on his team.
Well, I think the other piece of it, though, is you helped him be accountable for actually creating that path. So this wasn't a path that was being done to him, but that he was evolving himself on his own terms.
That's true, and I'm glad you brought that up, because one of the other things that I say is that I think accountability makes magic happen.
Mm-hmm.
And when people are held accountable for making progress on their dreams and their goals, even the ones that they haven't, you know, clearly articulated, those kind of dreams that are in our hearts that think about but don't dare say out loud, but then when we're held accountable for that, it opens the door to a life of purpose and fulfillment and prosperity. So accountability is really key.
So the idea, first, to identify the beliefs that we have that might make us fearful, hesitant, reluctant. Second is to challenge what we think. And the third was to recognize truly that our mind is designed to protect the way it is and then create a new path. But the other key thing, too, and I think this might come back to your traffic light analogy, it's one thing if I'm coming up to light, I see it's green, and I'm ready to go. But if the traffic around me starts waffling, sometimes that can undermine you, right? So the idea of how do we surround ourselves with optimistic people, not pie-in-the-sky Pollyannas, but realistic optimism, wouldn't you say, Loretta?
Mm-hmm.
To
exactly.
Help us continue on that playing field in a go-forward way.
Right. People often, you know, get sucked into pity parties, and it's been easy to do, you know, the last few years with the economy being down the way that it was. And people feel, many people, not everyone, but many people feel victimized by their circumstances, whether it's the family that they grew up in or the company that they work for or the economy that they're dealing with. And if we keep all of our attention on those things that aren't going really well and keep hanging out with people who that's all they can see is how things aren't going really well, it'll kill our dreams. It will rob us of the potential for doing what's really in our heart. So, you know, my personal vision is that people recognize, well, actually it's partly a belief and then a vision. So my belief is that people come to this life with special, unique set of gifts. And my vision is that everybody recognizes what their particular gifts are, and that they're expressing those gifts in pursuit of their highest sense of personal achievement or mastery or destiny. And that the organizations that they work for honor those gifts in pursuit of compelling business goals.
And in fact, the challenge thus within organizations is for us to have leaders who have the skills to know how to, A, identify what those attributes are of people if they don't know them themselves.
Right.
And then really construct the best fit opportunities, as opposed to have, here's a bunch of holes, I know you're kind of a little bit square, so we'll knock off the rough edges so you can fit. And lo and behold,
right, exactly.
You've given away perhaps some of their most important attributes by knocking those corners off the square. But that's not, you know, and you know that from having come through HR, that's not an easy quest necessarily to really authentically understand how someone is best wired, because we have so many shoulds and shouldn'ts that probably go back to our belief system, right? Well, you should be a good lawyer because you were brought up as a lawyer, or you went to law school, etc.
And it might not be the right thing. That goes back to, you know, what you said at the beginning, the right people and the right jobs doing the right things right. So when, you know, when leaders and managers can tap into the unique, special gifts that people have and place them in a job that requires those gifts, it makes it a lot easier to lead and manage because now the person's doing what's natural for them, what's really fun for them. And the boss doesn't have to kind of oversee and get out the whip so much because people are doing what's right for them.
Mm-hmm.
Makes life very different.
And thus, and when they do that, then that creates that much more positive energy around people who are in a similar role or even dissimilar in the same case of an organization.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it can't be all perfect, though, right? I mean, step number five, you also say, you know, I've done the first four here, but maybe it's time for me, though, to cut my losses and move.
Well, and there are times when, you know, things go bad. There are times when, you know, maybe you get very ill and you're kind of taken out of the game for a while, or you're in an environment that's just toxic for you, or something happens, your child gets injured and you have to spend all of your attention with the child. So, you know, the thought here is to recognize when those circumstances are kind of pulling you away from what you need. Not that you're hiding from them, but you actually really need to put your attention on something else other than what you are currently working on. And so the thought is that when you are free and you have not huge obstacles that you're dealing with, to run as fast as you can. But then when life throws you one of those other things, to go deal with that so that you can go back to driving your vision and your goals or dreams or your project or whatever it is. So you want to run really fast when you can and not, you know, watch too much television or hang out doing really unproductive things. You want to relax a little bit because that's, you know, part of being a healthy person. But you don't want to, like, procrastinate and wait and waste your time. So run as fast as you can when you can so that when something comes up, you can put your attention on that and run fast in that direction and then go back to, you know, your main goals or your main dreams.
And certainly that applies to individuals within organizations that are leading groups, that there's some time, even though you've got the list of 5 to 10 that are goals for the year, but conditions can change. And, you know, maybe we just have to tread a little bit on that one versus, you know, be swimming fast. But but having the discerning ability to pick that. Loretta, if you think about Emerald Harvest Consulting, the firm that you established 12 years ago, are you doing the kind of work that you dreamed you would be doing? Or has this kind of been an evolutionary journey even for your practice as a consultant?
You know, it's interesting. When I articulated the vision that I shared with you earlier about people recognizing their gifts, I realized that I'd actually been living that vision my entire life. I'm getting, like, chills, actually, as I say that.
That's
so, you know, when I first started the company, I was focused a bit more on HR consulting than what I'm doing right now. So now I'm doing more executive coaching and business coaching, helping people grow their businesses. But I realized that the whole time it's been about people living their fullest lives, recognizing their truest potential, me recognizing my truest potential. I've been at work on myself for, you know, the 6 decades I've been in existence on this planet. So it's my mission. I didn't realize it when I was younger, but I am definitely doing the thing that I believe I'm put here to do.
And there's no greater energy that gets you out of bed every morning, is there, than that?
Mm-mm. And that does get me out of bed. It guides every conversation I have with people. It's the basis for everything that I do, really.
So do you ever do the astrology charts for your clients now?
I haven't done them recently. No, now I've matured.
Well, now be careful.
I've gone more corporate into, like, different assessments.
Well, who knows? That might be another circle you're going to flip back to, is then looking at the shamanic world and complementing it with the other things that you've been involved in. It's really an exciting possibility. The types, tell us a little bit about the kind of clients that you've enjoyed learning the most from, for you personally.
Well, it's I've learned a lot from just the one about everybody that I've worked with. So I've worked with, you know, partners at public accounting firms, with employees and directors at public accounting firms and high technology firms. I've been focused more recently on small business owners and helping them grow and lead their businesses.
Which is a timely need, isn't it, for these past 5 years in particular?
Helping them figure out how to get the visibility and credibility that they need in order to get the clients they're looking for. So I really love helping people. You know, it was really gratifying. I was in a networking meeting on Thursday, and one of my clients was in there. And I've only worked with this woman for, like, 1 week, but we're working on her growing her business. And toward the end of the meeting, she said to the group, Loretta, she said this out loud to everybody, but she was looking directly at me. She said, "Loretta, you changed my life."
Oh, my word. And isn't those
right.
That's now there's a chilling moment. Yeah.
It was. I was like, oh my gosh. And she said just in this one conversation, she got focused on things that she should be doing that were productive, that weren't time wasters, and now she feels organized and ready to take on the world and to really grow her business. And since she got that focus, she said the next week was just amazing. People started calling her back that she'd reached out 2 months ago. Mm-hmm. It's like the universe recognizes when you get clear and serious, and it starts, you know, sending you the things that you've been wanting all this time.
Well, you know, since our work is similar with a little bit different approach, of course, given our own backgrounds and our beliefs, you would say, that though there's nothing more gratifying than realizing that, and actually also heavy with responsibility, those of us who choose to be professional coaches, that those one or two conversations can really set things right. But it's also important, and for our listeners that are thinking about getting an executive coach, that you really, or management coach, that you really do your homework, because just as much as you've got people like us who believe we're doing the right thing and guiding, you can also misstep. So it's back to that, how do you surround yourself with the right kind of people that match you where you are right now?
Mm-hmm. How can you be really clear about what it is that you're trying to accomplish and be really honest with yourself? Because I think, you know, I learned as much from clients that I didn't work so well with.
Mm-hmm.
People have to be willing to try something new. You know, if you're going to be the same person that you've always been, you're never going to get any results that you haven't had in the past. So if you really want something new, you're going to have to step out of your comfort zone. I saw this great graphic that had a little circle in the middle that says comfort zone, and then outside there was this huge circle and said miracles occur here.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally different circles, right?
Well, and of course, you know, and then also Loretta and I have the benefit of knowing each other now for over 10 years, that we were part of a leadership experience that we talk about this idea of the expanding spiral, right, is increase your line of sight and realize how much more possibility there is that you wouldn't ever have known to see.
Right, and the more courageously you can move forward, the bigger that circle gets.
Yeah, that's right. Loretta, just real briefly, of course, I mentioned the introductions. You've written two books. The first was Leadership Without Limits, Inspiring the Best in Yourself, Your People, and Your Organization. And then your second book, Six Keys for Dissolving Disputes When Off With Their Heads Won't Work. Is there another book on the drawing board at some point in time, do you think?
There is another book. I'm glad you asked.
How about that? Tell us about it.
There is a book. It's called Sleep, Leap, Reap, the Bamboo Approach to Bountiful Business Growth. And so it uses the metaphor of a bamboo and how it grows. It's the fastest growing planet on Earth, but it grows really slowly at the beginning
because
it's laying down a solid foundation.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the next one, focused a little more on business and marketing, which has been my focus for the last couple of years.
Well, and oh, by the way, you got my attention by saying sleep. I automatically said, oh, good, this is one that would allow me to get more of that.
Maybe.
maybe. But no, your point, though, is in that bamboo analogy is a great one, how many years it takes for the gestation of a seed. That's why I also, of course, in the context of circles of change, forewarn people to say, you know, don't underestimate the power of something you've done a long time ago that at some point you're going to realize you want to bring back to you. Or it's like bamboo that suddenly is going to start growing 6 feet, you know, in a short period of time.
Right, overnight, perhaps.
Yeah, overnight. Ooh, that's a scary thought. But that, you know, it's like,
well, it actually can grow 4 feet in a day.
Really?
You know, once it's a solid foundation down,
Yep, and that's just same way with like activities and commitments in organizations and your personal life change. Like you mentioned, that client that said just one or two conversations with you helped that one gear get back in place so things would click.
Mm-hmm. Took on a whole new perspective.
New perspective.
So I wanted to make an offer. I actually have, you know, for those of you who are interested in getting maybe a taste of coaching, you know, before hiring a coach, I have a video series which is called Exceed Your Dreams.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 5-part series that actually walks you through the 4 steps that I take people through, not the ones that we talked about here today, but really briefly I'll say the first step is aspire to, you know, set your goal, have a really big vision for yourself, assess where you are in relationship to the goal. The third step is then taking action, and the 4th step is building in some accountability. So this video series walks you through how to do that in your own life in relationship to where it is that you're trying to go. So people can get that on my website, which is emeraldharvest.com.
Very good.
Emerald like gemstone, harvest like the fall event.com.
Very good. And excellent. Thank you so much for extending that to our listeners. Again, we've been speaking with Loretta Love Huff, the dream leader for business. Her site again, emeraldharvest.com, where you can get that free video series and continue a dialogue with Loretta. Thanks so much for joining us, Loretta. Have a great balance of the weekend.
Thank you. You too, Zara. Take care.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.